The Department of Defense says it's creating a profile of the Fort Hood shooter to understand his motives. A lot of media coverage, of course, is producing various theories about why what happened. But that speculation may be undermining an opportunity for the Department of Defense and the Department of Veterans Affairs to really protect employees better from future tragedies like this. Philip Carter, senior fellow and counsel and director of the Military Veterans and Society Program at the Center for a New American Security. Phil, it's great to have you back in the program. Thanks for being here today. You write about the military proverb from the battlefield, and it's a proverb that news people like myself follow as well, and that is what, Phil?
First reports are almost always wrong, and we still know so little about what happened at Fort Hood beyond the simple record of carnage that was left there. I think it's a proverb that reminds us to wait until more facts come before we leap to conclusions about what may or may not have happened there.
And I want to focus on what we know in the context of a number of events that have happened recently rather than on the specific events of yesterday themselves, Phil. We'll leave that to other people to report and speculate, and unfortunately right now most of it seems to be speculation. But this event yesterday happened in the context of a number of issues that you study very carefully. Earlier in the week, we learned that although the caseload in disability claims of the Department of Veterans Affairs is down, the appeals process is taking longer than ever. That seems to be a mixed message coming out of VA. There just seem to be a tremendous amount of issues that are pressing the veterans community and the military community for people like the person, the shooter yesterday who have been in combat zones and are coming back and trying to readjust to life in the United States. Tell me what is going through your mind as this kind of brew of events is happening all at the same time, Phil.
We have an all-volunteer force that's been tested and strained by more than 12 years of war. And it's now reaching the end of those conflicts and seeing the cumulative effect of this struggle. We also have a national economy that continues to limp along. We have a country that is fatigued. And this is when veterans are going to transition into society. We're going to shrink the military by somewhere between 100 and 250,000 personnel. And at a time when the nation is going to turn away from war and from military personnel, veterans' needs will likely go up. That's been true after Vietnam. It was true after the first Gulf War. It will likely be true now. And so we have a force under great strain, a veterans community whose needs are likely going to increase as folks leave the military, and yet I fear that society will increasingly turn away from these issues.
The story in the front page of the Washington Post today, I thought, was particularly striking in light of this issue. Again, not because of the specific events, but because it speaks to what you just talked about, Phil, which is the difficulty in transition for men and women coming home from combat zones. My major takeaway from this story in the front page of the Post about veterans' employment or unemployment is that while there are many veterans who struggle to find employment that they're qualified for, there are many employers out there that would like to hire vets, that have the best interest of vets at heart, and it seems like it's the matchmaking that's difficult. Now, I've covered any number of efforts from the private sector and from VA, from the Labor Department, and other federal agencies on this program that are trying to do that. I've covered the Army and the other branches who are trying to do preparation for the people who are about to separate and go into the back into the private sector. And yet it seems like for all of these efforts, they're not working. Do you have a sense of what that missing link might be, Phil?
I would start by saying I think a lot of the efforts are working, that the numbers of veterans being hired by industry now is terrific. I would also say that the homecoming that my generation of combat veterans is getting is vastly preferable to the alternative that our fathers and grandfathers received after Vietnam. That said, there is this lingering gap between the programs that serve veterans and the ones coming off active duty. The military still shares too little information about the folks leaving the service, in part for privacy reasons, in part because there's a tension between helping vets get out and retaining the best on active duty. I think the military can do more to help its soon-to-be veterans succeed when they get out. The other thing is that in a lot of cases, veterans are not self-identifying. They're choosing to make their own way as civilians, and that's a natural impulse, but they're not availing themselves oftentimes of opportunities within their community, and it takes a very aggressive outreach effort to connect veterans who want or need the help with the actual programs that exist.
You mentioned the two aspects of those connections that might be difficult. Well, the privacy one I can certainly understand, because that's an imperative across government to protect the privacy of people who either work or used to work for your agency, whether it's the DOD or someplace else. The tension one is interesting to me because this is happening at the same time that every branch is recognizing they're going to have to downsize to some degree. The Army seems to be the most worried about how far they're going to have to come down. So it would seem to me that hopefully some of that tension could dissipate. Are there steps that you would anticipate that DOD as a whole or the branches individually would take to try to get that tension about letting people go to go away a little bit?
There are. And you see this innovation happening at the local level most of all. There's a terrific program at Joint Base Lewis-McChord up in Washington State where the base commander has invited community colleges and local trade unions and others to help prepare his veterans to get out, recognizing that so many of them stay in that beautiful part of the country and that it's a great thing if he can connect them with opportunities on the outside. I've heard of similar things starting up around the country, but the overall push from the services has been to rely on the new transition program they put in place several months ago and to rely on more systemic fixes. And I'd like to see more innovation like what's happening up in Washington State because I think therein lies the answer.
I would love to explore that with you. I've kept you longer than I intended to, Phil, and I appreciate you being on very much. But let's talk about that more because that innovation is exactly what all federal agencies say they're looking for. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, Francis.